Almighty God, King of the universe, we thank thee, Father, for thy love, for thy mercy, for thy great goodness. Forgive me, Father, most of all, first, the greatest of sinners, and please forgive me and help us all and forgive us all, everyone in this building, of our sins. Those that come to you this morning, Father, with a repentant heart, we pray that you'll have mercy on us and be kind and patient with us and forgive us all. Help us as we go forward today, Father. You've heard the sick as we've named them. We pray that you continue to heal them and raise them up. We pray for the down and out and all those that are downcast. Help us, Father, with our radio ministry as we go forward to preach the gospel to the whole wide world. We're thankful, Father, for our internet ministry and its success. We're thankful for our feeding program here and our ability to feed the poor. We pray that you'll continue to forgive our sins. In Christ's name, amen.
Thank you, Brother Kelly. Today, we're going to be talking about faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. What is faith? Do we need faith for salvation? If we do need faith for salvation, then we ought to know what faith is. I'm going to try to make an attempt to explain about faith. Because for me, in order for me to know what to obtain eternal salvation, I should know what faith is. I ought to know what faith is. I should study it. I should search it out for myself if I want to be saved. How can we be sure of our salvation if we don't even know what faith is? Romans 10:17, it says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." There are a couple of words related to faith that I'm going to tell you about. In your Strong's Concordance, I recommend it. Anybody who's doing a Bible study, get a good Strong's Concordance. It helps out immensely. Because what a Strong's Concordance does is it shows you the definitions of the words that you're looking for. In Hebrew and in Greek, the Bible was written in generally two languages, Hebrew and Greek. So to get a better understanding of certain scriptures, it's a good idea to learn what these words mean. Words related to faith. One, in Strong's Concordance 3982, it's called pytho, not python, like a big old snake that's going to bite you. No, pytho, and that is the word for trust. The word trust, to be persuaded, a prime root word, to be convinced by argument. So, you put your trust in something when you are convinced that it is trustworthy. Yes? There is another word that is so close to faith. But if you have it and not faith, you will so miss the mark. But you need it. And it is called pisteuo. And that means belief. Belief alone is not going to save you. Faith will save you. Belief, you must believe to have faith. Everyone that has faith believes. But not everyone that believes has faith. You must apply faith to your belief. Faith is an action word. So, the strong words belief, pisteuo, that's a result of testimony. You believe what someone says. Strong's 4102, faith, pistis, that is you keep believing and trusting. You keep on believing and trusting with no proof. Faith is trust with reliance in the propositional promises of God. Faith is trust with reliance in the propositional promises of God. What does that mean? You believe God's promise. And I'll say this again, probably, but we believe that God has promised us eternal life. So there's two things that we need for faith. We need to believe in the right God and do the right works, the works of obedience, which is in the Word of God. That equals faith. If you have the wrong God, if you believe in Allah or Buddha or any other God whose son is not Jesus Christ, whose son did not die and was buried and rose again for you, then you don't believe in the right God. The right God is the God whose son performed the gospel. And the gospel is the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we must obey that. Obedient faith. Belief. Faith is a verb. Faith is an action word. Listen to this. Faith is not a feeling or an emotion, although feelings and emotions can accompany faith. Faith comes only one way, by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now you notice in Romans 10:17, they use the word hearing twice. It's like saying, well, you're hearing, but you're not hearing. How do you prove your hearing? By understanding. But if you don't prove your understanding, then how can you prove that you heard? Give a simple example. If I'm teaching a class, math class, and I'm saying, okay, 2 + 2 = 4. 2 + 2 = 4 every week. 2 + 2 = 4. And then I say, Shelby Lewinsky, come in here and show me that you understand this. Shelby Lewinsky can say, I understand. But when she goes up there and I write 2 + 2 and say, tell me the answer. And she goes 2 + 2 and she writes a big old 3 there. Is that the right answer? Did she understand? Apparently not, because the proof of her misunderstanding was in the work that she did. The proof of our understanding should be by obedient work. Got that? Okay, Romans 10:17 again. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing, understanding, by the word of God. Faith is just a stronger word than belief. Faith will save you. Belief won't. But belief is in faith. You can't have faith without believing in the right God. Faith is trust with reliance that God in Christ will save you. The right God and the right works will save you. Would we do the work of God if we didn't believe that we would obtain everlasting life? That we wouldn't believe, if we didn't believe that we would have the promise of God? I'm going to give you an example, and I love this. It's written down. I'm not going to tell you who wrote it. But who knows Harry Houdini? And I'm not talking about Houdini. It was an old rap group. Now that Houdini's inside the joint. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about this old Harry Houdini from way back when he was a magician. A magician. Okay. Now, Harry Houdini, he was the kind of guy, he has a wheelbarrow. And he's taking that wheelbarrow through a tightrope over Niagara Falls. And he's walking with that wheelbarrow, and you see him. He has a show once a week, and you go there every week, and you see him, and you see that he does it. He completes it without falling. So, do you have faith? After many examples of this stunt, he asked, do you believe I can do this? Harry Houdini says, you believe I can do this? Do you believe he can do this after seeing it time and time again? Well, yeah, I would. I believe he could do it. But then he says, hop on. Now, I'll tell you what, I wouldn't hop on. So you can believe, but you, like with Jesus, if Jesus was that one pulling the wheelbarrow, wouldn't you hop on? Yes, sure. And that's applying faith to your belief. Open your Bibles, please, to Hebrews chapter 11, and we'll study this chapter. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the platform your hope rests upon until your hope becomes substance and you can see the evidence of it. Faith is substance and evidence. Faith is the proof that you believe. If you have no proof, if you have no substance and evidence, how can you prove that you believe? That substance and evidence is obedient work, obedient faith. There's a guy by the name of Philip Doddridge who is a commentarist, and he has a good translation of this verse. He says, now faith means putting our full confidence in the things we hope for. It means being certain of the things we cannot see. God bless you. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is a work. It is the work of obedience because you believe in the right God. Now, I'm going to attempt to show you that each verse showing the mighty men of faith, men and women of faith, how that they did a work. There had to be a work done, and that was a work of obedience. Listen to this. Hebrews 11, 2. It says, for it the elders obtained a good report. Now, how does anybody obtain a good report? Well, you got to have reporters, and they have to see your works. So, if I go to school, and I get bad grades, and I get my report card, if I do bad in school, I get bad grades, and I get my report card, and it shows bad grades. Did I do good? Is it a good report? Was I obedient to that teacher? Did I learn what the teacher needed to teach me? We got to learn the Word of God. And we got to apply it in our lives. Just like 2 plus 2 is 4, not 3. Through faith, we understand. This is verse 3, Hebrews 11, verse 3. Through faith, we understand. What is that word, understanding, again? How can you say you understand anything if you don't do it correctly? Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which do appear. Because we believe, we do what God commands. Because we believe who he is, we obey his commands. How did God create the heaven and the earth? He spoke them into existence by nothing but divine fiat. There are some people that say that the Big Bang Theory, that they say out of a little piece of matter, everything exploded, and then everything, we have miles and miles and millions of miles of stuff out of this one little piece of matter that exploded. Does that sound believable? And even if that was true, which it's not, if that was true, then where did that little piece of matter come from? God created everything out of something or out of nothing. By divine fiat, everything came into existence. He spoke them into existence out of nothing but divine fiat. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. We know this is a familiar passage. In the beginning was the Word. And who is the Word? Jesus. And the Word, Jesus, was with God. And the Word was God. Why does he use the past tense in that? Simply because he was talking about the past tense time. Jesus is still the Word of God, and Jesus is still God, and God is, even still, from everlasting to everlasting. Okay? Verse 3, all things were made by him, and without him, without who? The Word of God? Without Jesus. Without him was not anything made that was made. In him, in Jesus, was life. Isn't life in Christ? Isn't life in Christ? Then you got to get in Christ if you want life. Eternal life, that is. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Drop down to verse 14. John 1, 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus is God. And not only that, but he's full of grace. Grace. He is full of grace. So, what saves us? Doesn't it say in Scripture that we're saved by grace? So, Jesus is full of grace, and if we're saved by grace, then Jesus is God. Because only God can save you, right? Now, are we saved by grace, or are we saved by faith? We're saved by grace. And grace is unconditional. Because God loved us, he gave his only begotten son for us. Yeah. That's unconditional. That's the unconditional part. But we receive his grace by faith. And that's the condition. If you get it and you don't receive it, there was an example, the lady that touched the hem of his garment. Now, she went there, and she went and saw Jesus touch the hem of his garment. Okay? What if she believed that Jesus was the Son of God? And she believed it in her bed, and she laid up in her bed, and she says, I know Jesus is going to be here at such and such a time, and I believe that he can heal me, but she never went there. What if she never went there to touch the hem of his garment? Would she be healed? No. But she did, and that was the faith that she showed. They say, well, what word of God did she learn? What word of God did she hear? What word of God did she obey? Well, Jesus is the Word of God. Anything that he said was the Word of God. So the Word of God that she heard, she understood, and she believed. The Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. When Jesus was around, there was no need of writing because he could speak it into existence. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. This is verse 3 again. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Back down to verse 14. And the Word was made flesh, John 1, 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. In Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, it says, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. So Jesus must have been in the beginning. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. Can anyone see the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in this verse of Scripture? God the Father, look at this, again. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God, let's go back to chapter 1, Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God the Father, created the heaven and the earth. Well, that's God, that's plural, that's Elohim. It's not only the Father. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God, there's the Holy Spirit, right there. moved upon the face of the waters. And God, you see this word said? Well, he spoke, right? Now, isn't Jesus the word God, the word of God, the spoken word? Isn't Jesus in that? Of course he is. Genesis 4:10, and he said, what hast thou done? Oh, I'm sorry. Going back to Hebrews 11:4. Hebrews 11:4. By faith. Now, again, I want to explain to you. I'm trying to show you that these mighty men and women of faith, they did. There was something that they did to show their faith. If you say you have faith, there is something you must do to show it. Okay? By faith, Abel offered. He offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. Where's the righteousness of God found? It's found in the Word of God. The righteousness of God is in the Word of God. So if you abide in the righteousness of God, then you are righteous. And not by our own selves, but by the blood of Jesus Christ. Because we believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the only begotten of the Father. Okay? By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of the gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. Now, God must have told Abel how to do something. He must have told Abel and Cain what they needed to do. He had to. Because if faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, then there had to be a word spoken. So, what was it that Abel offered? Abel offered the first of his flock. Now, all it said that Cain offered was vegetables. Now, it might have been, he might have been accepted if he would have offered the first fruits. Or it might have been accepted if he would have offered a lamb himself. But the point is that Abel, because of obedient faith, had a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Okay? Hebrews 11:5. Back to Hebrews 11:5. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, listen to this, he had this testimony. Okay? Now, how does a person testify of your works? Has to be of your works. So this testimony, God testified that his works was good, his works of obedience, that he pleased God. Genesis 5:24, it says, and Enoch, Genesis 5:24, it says, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Back to Hebrews 11:6. Hebrews 11 has very good scriptures to memorize. These are good things to memorize. If you want to have faith, and you know that just shall live by faith, you got to know what faith is. And you should be able to explain to others that think they have faith, though they have it not. Ought to be able to teach them what faith really means. But without faith, this is 11:6, Hebrews 11:6, I would memorize it. But without faith, it is impossible to please him, to please God. So if you don't have faith, you can't please God. For he that cometh to God, listen to this, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is what? That he is what? That he is God. Again, it is the right God. You got to believe in the right God. So you have to believe that he is the right God. Yes. The only God that's going to save you. must believe that he is. Listen to this. And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. How do we diligently seek God? Don't we do it by faith? Obedient faith to the word of God. That's how we seek him. By faith, by obedience. Now, listen to this. Drop down to go up to Hebrews 10:25. This talks about the assembly. And this is what it says. Listen to this. And tell yourselves, are you really applying the faith that is needed to live? Hebrews 10:25, it says this. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. How often do we assemble? How often do we assemble as a church? Once a week, at least. At least once a week. And what is the main purpose? Is it not the communion of the saints? Is it not the fellowship? It says the fellowship of the Lord's suffering. But to partake of the communion, the Lord's Supper. You know, there are places in different denominations that they only partake of the Lord's Supper once a month or once a year or even less. But how often are we supposed to remember Christ? I try to remember him all my life. But some of you tell me, is there any time that you come to service, a Sunday service, Lord's Day, first day of the week? Is there any time that you come in here that you don't remember Christ? So you're supposed to remember Christ. And Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. So that's why every week we partake of the fruit of the vine and the Lord's, the bread and the wine, the bread and the grape juice, to represent, not transubstantiation. It doesn't actually become the body and blood of Christ. It is just crackers and grape juice. But we do this in remembrance of Christ. We remember what the bread is, what it represents. Well, the word of God, the bread of life, the body of Christ, the church of Christ, which is one body, even the bride of Christ. That all represents the bread. It's a good idea, if you're taking the Lord's Supper, before you do it, it's a good idea to ask God for forgiveness of your sins. I do. Because I want to partake worthily. But you got to remember why you're partaking of this. And then the blood of the Lamb, the covenant. Is there a covenant without a shedding of blood? Yeah, there's a shedding of blood. And then by this blood, look, are we saved by baptism? We're saved by the blood of the Lamb. And we receive it by obeying the gospel, in which baptism is a part of for the remission of sins. But if you didn't have the blood of the Lamb, you couldn't be saved. If you didn't have the gospel, you couldn't be saved. Baptism is a part of obeying the gospel. Baptism by itself is not essential. If you don't know the gospel, there's millions of people that have been baptized, don't even know what the gospel is, and they had not been baptized into the one baptism that is in Ephesians. One faith, one Lord, one baptism. That is the obedient baptism. The faithful baptism, the baptism that you do, that you're commanded to do, in obedience to the gospel. If you don't have the gospel, it doesn't matter how many times you're baptized. And what is the gospel? Again, the gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Okay. Hebrews 10:25, it says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, I'm reading it again, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Christ is coming. The parousia, Christ is coming. We that have been baptized into Christ obey the death, the burial, the resurrection of Christ. That's the gospel. We obeyed it by repenting of our sins, being baptized, and then we walk in newness of life. Christ died, right? Is he still dead? No, of course not. Christ was buried, right? Is he still buried? Okay. Christ has risen, right? This is simple stuff. Is he still arisen? Sure. So now we have repented of our sins, death to sins, and we were baptized. We are baptized into Christ in obedience to the gospel. Burial. Then the resurrection part of the gospel, that is continual. That is where we must continue to walk faithfully. If I had a refrigerator, and that refrigerator broke down once a week, is it faithful? Okay, let's say if that refrigerator just broke down for 3 hours, one day of the whole week, is it faithful? So if we want to be faithful, we got to continue to be faithful. Look, if I sin, I'm going to ask God for forgiveness as soon as I can. And I can't tell you that since I've been baptized into Christ that I've never sinned. I'd be a liar. But I'm trying not to sin. And that's what trying. You're trying to live faithfully. You're trying. Just keep making the effort to do it. If you do fall short, get back in. Get back on board. Get back in Christ. There's a lot of strong problems, a lot of strong troubles that are going on around that that's gonna keep you from Christ. There's a lot of things going on, you know. There's addictions. You look at TV and the radio, all they're talking about is lustful things. All they're doing is satisfying the flesh. I try to look at TV, can't even watch it. Because of all that mess. I'm not going to go too far into that. Back to the Word of God. Let's go down to James chapter 2, verse 19. See, belief and faith. Belief is in faith, but belief is not faith. Faith is belief and work. Belief in the right God and the work of obedience. Listen to this. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. So believing only ain't going to do it. You got to apply faith to that belief. Hebrews 17:11. Hebrews 11:17. I'm sorry. Hebrews 11:7. I'm going to get this right. I had a long day, guys. Hebrews 11:7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear. What did he do? He moved with fear. That was a work. And prepared an ark. God commanded him to prepare an ark, and he prepared it. To the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness, which is by faith. All the heroes of the faith, here's what they do. They hear the word of God. They believe the word of God. And each obey the word of God. Hebrews 11:8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed. It just simply said that Abraham obeyed. There is obedience and faith. Hebrews 11:9. By faith, he sojourned. Listen to this. This is spiritual here. He sojourned in the land of promise. Now I'll jump ahead of the game. Did Abraham receive the promise? Okay, we'll deal with that later. Just keep that in your head. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise. What is the land of promise now? Isn't that the church? So if I'm not sojourning in the land of promise, then I won't be saved. If I am not sojourning in the land of promise, then I am not applying faith. If I am to sojourn in the land of promise, I got to get in Christ. You see, promise. Is there a promise? Is there one promise, or is there a bunch of promises that we have? You know, I wrote this here somewhere. Some scriptures, sometimes it says promise, sometimes the word is singular. But sometimes it says promises, where the words is plural. So why is that? Look, I'll tell you why. Well, we got the promise. If somebody knows what the promise is, can say one promise. What is it? A promise of everlasting life, right? Yeah, yeah. Okay. What about the promise of the Holy Spirit? Yeah, 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 that. What about the promise of the kingdom? Yeah, yeah, yeah. What about the promise of the Messiah? Yeah, yeah. Hallelujah, yeah. Now look at this. I'm going to show you that all those promises, everlasting life, promise of the kingdom, promise of the Holy Spirit, that's all entails, it's all in the promise of the Messiah. Because think about it like this. In the Old Testament, who was anointed? Oh, yeah, prophets, priests, kings. Okay? Kings was anointed in the Old Testament. Yeah, King David was anointed, anointed king. So, the Messiah means what? Anointed, same as Christos. So, all this is in the Messiah. Listen to this. Christ is a king, isn't he not? So now, if you have a Messiah anointed, you got king. Can you have a king without a kingdom? Okay, check that off, kingdom. You see, kingdom is in the Messiah. Now, the kings were anointed, right? So Jesus is called the anointed. Can you have an anointed without the anointing? Then, Holy Spirit. Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit. Acts 10:38. He was anointed with the Holy Spirit. So what I'm trying to say is all these things, the kingdom. Don't we have the church now? Isn't that part of the everlasting kingdom of Christ? Is Christ your king now? Then the church must exist now. You see what I'm saying? There it is. In Christ, we have the kingdom. We have everlasting life. We have the Holy Spirit. We have our king. Hallelujah. I'm going to go down to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13. Through 16, these all died in faith, not having received the promises. Okay, here it says plural, but we know that all those promises is in Christ, the Messiah. Again, the kingdom, can't have a king without a kingdom. The anointing, the Holy Spirit, well, can't have an anointed without the anointing, the Holy Spirit. Everlasting king, everlasting kingdom. You can't have everlasting life if you ain't in Christ. The church. Heaven and the church is the kingdom of God. These all died in faith. Listen to this. These all died in faith, not having received the promise. Now, did Abraham, again, the question was, did Abraham receive the promise? Did any of these men of faith, men and women of faith, in Hebrews 11, did they receive the promise? Of course not. And why not? Because Jesus did not arrive yet. You see? So they had the faith, but they didn't receive the promise. I'm going to read this again. These all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, the promises. Promise of the Messiah. And were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Again, sometimes the promises were single, sometimes promise was single, sometimes it was plural, but it all points to Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the King, the Anointed, Everlasting Father, Wonderful Counselor. Again, I'm going to read 11, 13 through 16. These all died in faith, having not received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. So what is this country they're talking about? Zion. I'll tell you what, they're talking about the church. They were looking for the church. They were looking for the kingdom of God. Verse 15, Hebrews 11, 15. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, not the heavenly country, but where they came from, they might have had opportunity to have returned. They didn't return, those that they came out of Egypt, they didn't return to Egypt. 16, but now they desire a better country, that is an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. This city that is prepared for us is prepared for them also, isn't it? And my works, all I've done in the sight of God, is God ashamed of me? Is God ashamed of you? If you are in sin, you don't want to die in your sin. Lest God be ashamed of you. And if you deny Christ, he will also deny you. So you have to accept him and get in Christ. I'm going to drop down to a very important verse. In Hebrews chapter 11, verses 39 and 40. Hebrews 11, verses 39 and 40. This is important. And these, all these mighty men and women of faith, and all these having obtained a good report. How does one attain a good report? Through good works, through works of obedience, i.e. faith. Okay? And these all, we're back in Hebrews 11, 39, and these all having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promises. They didn't receive it yet. Listen to this. Verse 40. God having provided some better thing for us. Who's us? Who's the us that they're talking about in the scripture? Christians, the church, yes. In order for some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. But that means that they with us are made perfect. Now they are perfect because of us, because the church was established. Why do we worship on a Sunday? Why don't we worship on a Saturday? I'll tell you why. Because the church was established on a Sunday. The first day of the week on Pentecost, which is 50 days after the Sabbath of the Passover. So 7 times 7 times 7 times 7, 49, that's on a Saturday. And then one day after that is Sunday. The church began on the Sunday, folks. And that's why in Acts 27, it says on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, that's the first thing they mentioned, breaking bread, communion with Christ. The Lord's Supper is of the utmost importance, guys. Utmost importance. It is so utmost importance that I have to pronounce it right to make sure that you get it. The Lord's Supper, the communion of the saints, is of the utmost importance. Because those that are in Christ have obeyed the gospel. Those that are in Christ, if you ain't in Christ, then you can do what you want. You're still going to die. You first got to get in Christ in order to obtain eternal life, in order to enter into the kingdom. The kingdom of heaven on earth is the church. And Christ is our king right now, those that have obeyed the gospel. If you hadn't obeyed the gospel, come on. It's about time to do it. Come on and do it. Get eternal life. Get that Holy Spirit in you so that you can obtain eternal life. It's an urgent thing. It's an urgent matter. So get yourselves up here. I'll tell you what the gospel is. You can't obey it if you don't know it. The gospel is how that Christ, died for our sins according to Scripture. And everybody that's a Christian, I urge that you memorize this. How that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. If the gospel is death, burial, and resurrection, how does one that is still awake, how does one obey that gospel? Well, there has to be a death, a burial, and a resurrection in your life. Death to sin, you got to repent of your sins. Burial, you must be baptized. Baptism is essential for the remission of sins in obedience to the gospel. Without the gospel, you can do nothing. You cannot be saved. And then resurrection, after that you're baptized, we got the water ready. And we will baptize you. Won't you come up? Won't you come up? If you need to be baptized, come up right now so that you can obtain eternal life. Why don't you do that right now as we stand and sing our invitational song? Brother.
Mark on the peaceful shore, very deeply stained with it, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me, now safe am I. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me, love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love.